and knows a great deal about. Senate Bill 911 was designed to put in place those things which make that system work, particularly in the rural areas of the state, unlike the metro areas of the state that in fact do have pretty good funding for their ambulance services and that basic EMT system that feeds into the trauma system that isn't available in many rural areas of the state. And that's what Senate Bill 911 was intended to get at.
Madam Chair.
Representative Bates.
In your opinion, is the trauma system in the state of Oregon any risk, especially in rural areas, and is it moving forward or backward as far as care of patients and risk to patients?
Chair Winters, Representative Bates, yes, it is at risk. The system, particularly in the rural areas of the state, is still in that developmental stage, and we can certainly point to great successes that have been achieved in it. However, there are problems with regard to resources and the availability of key surgeons and other health professions at those designated particular level two centers. There are problems with regard to the standards that those facilities are at present theoretically being held to, which do not appear to be realistic given the resources available. We are in a evolutionary stage, I think it would be fair to say, to make that system work realistically, but much better than what was there in the past. It would be a shame to throw it all out, but on the other hand, we do have some modifications to make it more realistic and effective given the realities of the rural areas of this state.
And Chair Winters, Representative Bates, if I might respond to, again, I would like to say that we have been recognized as a good model for a trauma system. I think that Senate Bill 911 from last session did recognize that particularly in rural areas, there are improvements that certainly could help improve the system. And I'm not saying that we have a perfect system. There are improvements that could be made everywhere, and there are some specific problems that we've seen, like Tom said, with some level two hospitals and the level of staffing and what they choose to do with patients. But I think that those are tweaks that need to be made rather than, as Tom was saying, a total dismantling and rebuilding of the system.
Madam Chair, may I follow up? Committee members probably are not aware of what a level one, level two, level three, level four hospital is, and I wouldn't expect you to know. I would just tell you level one is the where you take your greatest trauma, a lot of head trauma, open traumas. Level two is still very significant, life-threatening trauma, bad car accidents. I would think that the Medford, Oregon area, as an example, being on the I-5 corridor, is not a rural area. And that we've gone from a level two basically back to a level three. When we turned to the state for help on this, we found we had very little help. In fact, we were told to stay at level two, even though it did not represent what was capable at that time. We'd lost a significant number of surgeons, gone from 10 to 5 surgeons. One of the things that could have been done, I thought, at that time to help things out was for the state to step up and say, we have two hospitals in this town, only one will be a trauma center, and we should have closed one trauma center down. 2 months ago, one of the hospitals was having an emergency room with no backup surgeon at all on several days of the month, and that was not known to the public. I think it was a danger to the public, and I spoke to the hospital administrator about it. He did not want that to be known. He did not want the public to know, and I couldn't get any help from anybody on saying this is something that should not be allowed. If you have a major emergency room opening up, and patients coming in, and no backup surgeon that day, you have to be transferred to another hospital 15 or 20 minutes away in order to get care. I think that's a real danger to the public, and I'm not saying it's your fault, but I would have liked some support in taking care of that problem.
Chair Winters and Representative Bates, we agree. In fact, as we speak today, we have our staff down there. The Medford area is a real dilemma. There are limited authorities, which we have. We are in the process of doing what we can to bring consensus within the community. I think, as you well know, the medical community itself and the administrations are not in agreement on what it is they really want to do as a community. We will do everything that we can, but we recognize what Representative Bates is saying, and there are some real strains in the system.
Wasn't that the similar problem that Salem had? Only it was level one and level two.
Yes, that's correct, Chair Winters. There again, the issue was basically resources and standards that are appropriate for level two centers out of the big metro area. And I agree with Representative Bates. I perhaps misspoke that Medford and Salem are really not rural, but it's those that are not in the big metro areas.
And Chair Winters, actually with Salem Hospital, it is again the issue of level two versus level three. And Representative Bates, we also have made that suggestion to seriously consider only having one trauma level two hospital in the Medford community. And that has been something that right now, anyway, we don't have the authority to make them do, but again, has been our suggestion. One of the issues, too, is one of how to get hospitals incented to actually invest in beefing up their trauma and emergency care so that they can more easily make level two standards. And that's something that we have been working with OMAP on the chair of the State Trauma Advisory Board to try to do, but we're not there yet.
Are you giving yourself a timetable to get there? This was a huge issue in my community.
It's a huge issue, yeah.
It's a huge issue. I mean, and you know, it was felt that pressure had to be put to bear to even get some movement. And I think that's the concern that Representative Bates had. It stayed in the newspaper. It was where, you know, you had the physicians who were going bonkers here over this issue. So I'd not like to see it taken lightly.
And it's a complex issue. There's a problem with payment in the state of physicians. We can't compete from with other states. I said another committee, we talked about raising the PIP fees for insurances so we'd have more funding for the system, and that didn't go through. The insurance companies don't want that.
Yeah.
Yet they don't want to fund it. But I think the state has a role to play, and I don't know what your statutory limitations are, but if you walk into Medford and say, this hospital's no longer going to be a trauma center and this one will be, that's a public duty. I mean, we had a case 2 months ago where we had one surgeon, the only surgeon available, working on a man trying to save his leg. The gunshot wound came in. That kid ended up being shipped to Portland 4 hours later with a bleeding gunshot wound. I'm curious.
Sure.
We're not getting the job done to the point.
Winters and Representative Bates, and we agree. There are real limitations to our authorities, and I think at present the notion is that if we can look at ways to financially incent the hospitals to adhere to those standards and make it practical for the physicians, which you alluded to, that moved away, just flat moved away.
Yep, it did.
That is, it appears to us, the most likely way to make this thing succeed.
Thank you.
Representative Schrader.
Well, I guess I defer to the wisdom and guidance of my colleagues on either side of me, but I would raise the question, I guess, obviously, that how much of this is the state's responsibility and how much of this is the local community's responsibility? And until we change the delivery of health care in the state of Oregon, I mean, it begs the question a little bit. I'm not sure the gentlemen out here have total control over what happens in those various communities. And there is, I would point as an aside, kind of a dispersion, that Senate Bill 911, it didn't really deal with, in my opinion, maybe I misunderstood the issue at the time, or the issues that Salem and Medford had. It was more about ambulance services, EMT training, et cetera. And then, again, it begs the question of, you know, this was an interest of a member or so, and now are we dispersed? Is this a dispersion of possible resources or a diversion of where our concentrated focus should be for this particular center of the health division? So, again, it raises this question. I think it's been a thread through some of our discussions so far. And maybe this, what Dr. Bates and Representative Winters are talking about, may be the more important aspect of what needs to be attended to. Just a comment.
Moving on then, the drinking water program implements national drinking water quality standards, and as I think I discussed before, those have increased substantially from the 1970s to the present time, and we will be having more requirements in the way of checking for both biological and chemical contaminants in the future. The drinking water program investigates reports of waterborne diseases. It requires regular sampling of the 3,600 public water systems. We investigate any public water system that fails to meet water quality standards. Another big chunk of the program is that we coordinate the lending of the State Drinking Water Revolving Loan Fund Program in partnership with the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department. And this is a program that makes low interest loans available to local communities to improve their drinking water systems.
Representative Schrader.
Sorry.
That's okay.
But why is this department not in DEQ? Why is this center not in DEQ? Why is it here and not in DEQ?
Chair Wenders, Representative Schrader, the drinking water or water in Oregon is something that is a shared responsibility between the Department of Environmental Quality and the Health Division. That DEQ is responsible for drinking water until it gets to the treatment plant. From the time it reaches the treatment plant until the time it leaves a person's home is the responsibility of the health division, because that is where we believe the biggest impact on public health and drinking water is. And then again, once it leaves the home, it becomes the responsibility of DEQ. We believe that those responsibilities are the right division of responsibilities and work closely with DEQ on water issues. And I'm not sure if that answered your question, but that's the way things are.
Follow up.
Just so it's very clear, there's another issue that I'm working with the division on that has to do with the backflow devices, which deals from the home in, you know, from the meter into the home, that the next legislature will hopefully be able to deal with in a very productive way, and mm-hmm. issue will be settled. But there's all this controversy. That's the issue I have is, again, it's not very clear in some cases. There's not a bright line where DEQ's authority and jurisdiction begins and ends, or where the health division's begins or ends, or where the plumber's begins and ends. So the goal would be to make it as clear as possible so that this legislature doesn't have to deal with issues with which it has minimal expertise. And, again, the funds go to the greatest good with our.
And Chair Winters, Representative Schrader, that one thing I was going to mention is the fact that we do have a small program that's involved with backflow prevention problems. And for people who don't know what that is, in a line, if you have either stagnant water or water that can become contaminated, and then there's an actual backflow issue so that it can get back into the drinking water system, that can pose a real problem. And that's an issue that we have a part-time person working on. An issue came up just a couple of months ago that Representative Schrader has been working with us on to make sure that we are moving forward in that issue to make sure that we can make homes as safe as possible, because one of the problems involves sprinkler systems in homes, and we want to make sure that we're getting as many homes fitted with sprinkler systems as possible. So that's something that we've agreed to work with the water systems folks, the plumbers, and the health division over the interim to make sure that we're going to work that out.
Senator Yee.
Thank you. I believe this building the drinking water system, this really ought to be the function of health division, because you have all the standards rather than Department of Economic Development Department function. So why do they have to contract with you to do the infrastructure building? Why can't people come directly?
Chair Winters, Senator Yee, excuse me, all of the drinking water standards and the monitoring and the oversight of drinking water systems is done by the health division. There are funding programs through both the health division and economic and community development that allow communities, when they see that they need to make improvements in their water systems or build new water systems in new communities, both the health division and economic development provide funding to make sure that those things can happen. But the actual oversight of drinking water systems is a public health issue and is held in the health division.
Well. Follow up. So you're saying OECD help with the funding part, and you set up the standards and monitoring.
Chairman, as Representative Senator Yee, that is correct. That we're the ones that do the monitoring and the standards. They are one of the funding mechanisms to improve water systems.
So follow up question. So why can you do the funding in cooperation with the treasurer?
Chair Winters, Representative, or Senator Yee, perhaps Mr. Fazier can add in here too. What the relationship between economic development and the health division is that the bond proceeds that are realized through sale of bonds in economic development, it's now being proposed that those bond proceeds will be used to provide the match which is needed for our primacy program and for the state revolving fund set asides. The responsibility, the standard setting, the oversight of the program itself still resides with the health division. The relationship on the funding simply is that those proceeds which are realized through economic development are sent to and used by the health division then as the required match for the federal grants that we receive.
So they're providing them the money.
So I just want to know, why can't the mechanism of the funding, the bonding, be done by the treasurer department? So you just send in application, and they pool all the cities together, and they can levy the bonds without another agency being involved.
Mr. Fazier, you might want to...
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the subcommittee, for the record, Dave Fazier from DAS Budget Management. I do apologize for my tardiness today. Senator Yee, if I could try to address your programmatic questions in a little broader context. Certainly, you could take any function in state government and put it anywhere else and try to make it work. What is at odds with shifting that function over to the health division is that the health division is responsible statewide for public health in general, of which the Safe Drinking Water Program and the quality thereof is a small slice of what their mission objectives are. Where there are needs for drinking water project, new construction projects, the oversight and management and review and the prioritization and the follow-through on the completion of those projects and all of the administration involved in that better fits with the Office of Economic Development, because they're responsible for primarily for looking at development within communities within Oregon, looking at the balance of what projects are being accomplished, when and where, and does that represent the best interests of Oregonians, whereas the Health Division looks at, is it good for health or not? And that's a very small perspective when we're talking about implementing a program statewide. So in summary, of course, you could take that and somehow put it in another agency, but I don't think that it represents a match with the primary strategies and missions and responsibilities that we've given those two agencies.
We need to move on, and we're going to be back next week.
Dave has drawn me a flow chart, and I'll be happy to share it with committee members. I need to visit with you regarding the flow chart.
Be happy to do that, Senator.
Yes, please. Make a copy.
You have a copy.
I've got two copies.
Yeah. Moving on to the essential packages on page 86, those are, again, issues that Mr. Fazier has gone through, and I wasn't going to deal with them unless people had questions. On page 88, looking at budget reductions in the governor's recommended budget, one thing that was put on the table was the $1.15 million worth of general fund for the drinking water program. If that was taken, that would have meant that the EPA would have taken over the program from the state, and we would have lost the state revolving fund dollars, which account for about $28 million to Oregon, so that community water systems can make improvements when they need to. And consequently, in the governor's recommended budget, there was a backfill of those dollars with bond proceeds from economic and community development. There are a number of enhancement packages that are important for us in this center. Policy package 132 is the increased fee for the food inspection program, and this is in the 12 direct service counties where we provide those licensing program responsibilities, and House Bill 2256 is the related fee bill for that. That is something that has passed out of committee because we were able to get agreement with both the Conference of Local Health Officials and the Restaurant Association on amendments
Grant,
to that.
Grant, we're going to need to, I just started, we're back on the floor, and I apologize, but we're going to need to reschedule your agency. But before I do, I have a request. You need to bring us back some performance information that we had requested anyway, and this is just some additional so that your performance measures on the one sheet that we've talked about, that they relate to your performance measures and your benchmarks that you have within some of your budget information, and I'll just read some of them to you. Decrease the percentage of eighth graders who report using cigarettes as a performance, the increase of the percentage of pregnant women who are abstaining from using alcohol, and you have, I know that one there, decrease infant mortality rate per 1,000 live births, increase percentage of two-year-olds who are adequately immunized, decrease the number of persons becoming ill because of foodborne illnesses such as E. coli, and then decrease the rate of, you have some that are, we think, that are overlapping with one of the other agencies under your category. You've got decrease the rate of neglect, abuse of children under 18 years of age, and it seemed to us that children and families and some of the others would have that particular category. But decrease the number of cases of HIV infection among adolescents and adults, and also TB and hepatitis. And the decrease in the suicide rates of 10 to 19 years of age, that population, because that was a major concern of this body on the last session. And then the increase of the number of teenagers with refusal skills, and that gets us into the issue of STARS and those programs. So if you could provide that to us, and if there's any others that the committee may have.
Just an add-on to the pregnant women alcohol, maybe drug with that also, obviously.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And they can, Madam Chair, delete some of the performance measures
that other agencies would be responsible for. You know, for example, the one that I mentioned that had to do with abuse and neglect, the services to children and families. Mm-hmm. You've got the percentage of adults who self-perceive health status. That's fine, but you also have some categories that deal with seniors and disabled services that we would be getting from them.
Mm-hmm.
So go through and call out those that actually relate to your principal of objective, not those that you're interfacing with other agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and just for clarification, Chair Winters, We had actually prepared something and wanted to share this with you today, but you've gone over some of the ones that we had gotten, but added some more. So to the ones that we will add number of pregnant women using alcohol and drugs, immunization, HIV, tuberculosis, hepatitis, and suicide. Are you saying that for child abuse and neglect, that's something that you not only do not want on this one pager, but you want it scratched from our performance measure?
We don't, That information should be given to us through one of the other agencies. That should be a performance measure of Children and Family Services, and also that statistic will probably show up in the Commission on Children and Families.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm
trying to get at some of the duplication.
Right. Chair Winters, there are a number of those in the 8-page document that we gave you that are primarily the responsibility of other agencies, but that we have some involvement in. And you're saying out of that original document, you would like us to take those out. Is that
right? Because what we're trying to get at, that
right.
You're not responsible really for that field. Like, for example, the number of child care slots available, the Employment Division and its program is responsible for those kinds of determinations. You may have some collaboration with them, but the actual responsibility rests with that agency.
Now, this agency is somewhat unique in that it has a lot of measures for which it is not only primarily but secondarily involved. So we would suggest you concentrate on the primary ones in your particular case.
Okay. Yeah.
So Chair Winders, what I will bring back the next time then is the one-page summary of the prioritized ones and a revised 8-page one, which will no longer be 8 pages because the number will be taken out.
Thank you.
And I have...
You can keep the 8-page as a support document.
She likes 1 pages.
But right. Keep the 1-page summary to the primary goals.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I think those are which you have responsibility for.
And we have a lot of other information that we brought down to share with you. Do you want that now or me to distribute and talk about that the next time we meet?
I would like it.
I would like it now.
Okay. We will leave it.
They'll have the weekend with which I don't think that they're going to go out of the state. I hope not, that they stay home and do their homework. And so you can give it to us now. If there's no other further questions or requests, we are adjourned to reconvene on Monday morning, and we will reschedule this hopefully for next Friday.